everyone, and welcome to episode 159 of Connectivity. I am Scott Thompson. Today we have two super long, awesome segments for you. Kicking the show off, myself, Mike, and Zach sit down to talk all about Smash Brothers for Wii U and how much we love it. And after that, Alex, Brian, and special guest Joe Merrick, or Cerevee, get together to talk about Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this segment of Connectivity. I am Scott Thompson, and today I am with Zach Miller.
Hey!
And Mike Sklens.
Such smash.
And we've kind of tricked you because this is not the return of the music segment as it normally would be with this cast. We're actually here to talk about Smash Brothers for Wii U. It's been out
minor release this year.
Yeah, just this niche indie title. You probably haven't heard of it. It's totally off the radar. It's been out for, 2 weeks now, I guess, just about, and we've all been playing it. I'm assuming everyone's been playing it at this point. And, we're going to talk about it a little bit, because it is a very, very, very good game. Let's start a little bit. I think let's take a step back and let's look at Brawl. Because that was the last Smash Bros. Game, ignoring the 3DS game. Because that's basically
that's the same thing.
A low-res version of this one. Yeah, so Brawl was the last, major release. How did you guys enjoy Brawl compared? I mean, I'm assuming we all love Melee. I think it hit at a point where we were all probably, in high school or college.
We were all in college, I think. I was my senior year of high school when Melee came out. So it came out in December, and then, 8 months later, I was in college.
There you go. So that was perfect for you, yeah. I think I was, a sophomore in high school, and, it was all me and my friends did. But how did Brawl appeal to you guys? Did you like Brawl?
I like Brawl. I don't know why Brawl gets so much hate. I even liked Subspace. I mean, I played the hell out of that game.
I think Brawl is perfectly fine. But I think I was wrong. I think Melee came out, 1 year. So I was a year and 8 months before I went to college. Cause I did remember playing it in high school. anyway. Brawl came out. Ironically, right, after I got out of college. 2008 did Brawl come out?
That sounds right.
2008, 2009.
Eight-ish, yeah.
It's been a while.
So I was right out of college, and the thing about Melee is, we played it literally every day.
Yeah.
Almost every single day. I would say more days a week than not.
Yeah.
And we had a standing rule where, because I lived in an apartment with three of my friends, if three of us wanted to play Smash, the fourth had to join and play.
Nice.
If only for a little bit. If you were doing anything, it doesn't matter. You could be doing homework, studying. I think the one exception we made is two of my roommates played WoW. So if they were in the middle of a raid, that's it. But they were in the same guild, so if one of them was in the raid, the other usually was, and you need three people to force the fourth. So the rule works perfectly. So we all got really good. And to the point where we would just always play on, almost always, 80% of the time play on random, and then random stages. And we were all at, the perfect skill levels for each other. So I loved the shit out of Melee. I think it's the best fighting thing ever.
And see, I feel like that is kind of why Brawl gets a lot of hate, at least from, most people our age, is Melee hit at that point where we had friends, and we were in that position where we could just play endlessly, right? We didn't really
Infinite
have responsibilities
time.
Outside of, I guess some homework, but homework's bullshit. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I worked at the movie theater on campus, and I was also the committee, for the building's, gaming committee, or the chair for the gaming committee.
Okay.
And I work in the movie theater, and I'm the games committee chair, so I hooked that shit up in the movie theater.
Oh, I think you've told the story.
It's so good. We put on tournaments. Oh, it was so good.
That's
so
amazing.
Good.
So I guess with Brawl, to me, it's a perfectly fine game. I like some of the characters that got added. I really enjoyed the Pokemon trainer and stuff. But I think where Brawl really stumbled, was in the promise of online and how that
was
not
an online game. Let's just be clear.
No. And I thought, oh good, this is great. It's got internet play so I can play with my college friends who now live all over the country. I could play with them online. No, I could not.
Right.
No.
And I almost feel like the legacy of Brawl would be, if we would look back on it a little more positively if online hadn't even been an option. Sure. But I think going into it, there was that idea like, oh my god, like, now I can really enjoy Smash Brothers again. Like, I can play with one of my friends who have moved away or just, you know, at home because we're busy.
Or you can just play against random people on the internet.
Yeah, even that. Yeah, I was so excited. At the time, I was really into, like, Halo 2 and playing online 2v2 matches. So, like, me and my friend would sit in the same room and then we would just play random people online just 2v2, which was great. And knowing that, like, that would be an option in Smash, we were like, that's all we're going to do now is just, like, all night, like, play 2v2 matches against chumps online and just, like, destroy them.
You're going to be those Japanese gamers.
That's right. And that just totally did not come to fruition. I mean, I remember...
Yeah.
I bought the game, and I had a few friends over that night, so we played locally, and it was a lot of fun. And then the next morning, I had some other friends, lived a couple of towns over, who bought the game, and we were like, all right, let's jump online and start playing. And then instantly, it was just like, oh, this is kind of bad. This doesn't really work.
Wait, we have to register Wii's first. Oh, and then we have to register Smash Brothers codes, too. Oh, yours isn't showing up on my system. Well, I registered you, for Pete's sake. Oh, and we got online, and now it's a slideshow.
Yep. So I think I really only sunk time into Brawl with friends probably those first few weeks it was out, and then it just kind of quickly...
Yep, it just... We have the exact same story. Like, we played it heavily because we were like, oh, there was still enough of us in town that we could get together and play it. So we played it like crazy. We unlocked everything like the first night. Like, I took off a day from work. I got the game a day early from a local retailer that always breaks street dates. Great. Find one if you have one in your town. They're great. And we played it like mad, and we were like, this is great. This is like, it's different, but it still feels really good to sit in the same room and play it. And like within a month, it was just completely by the wayside.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had a lot of fun locally, but because I had enough people here that we would get together once in a while and play Brawl, but man, like the single player modes, I like Subspace Emissary all right, and I played through the whole thing, but beyond that, it was like, who cares?
Yeah, same here. I enjoyed Subspace Emissary, actually.
I liked it too.
You know, it's kind of floaty, and it's not necessarily great when you're doing like the platforming stuff, but I thought it was fine, and I mean, I obviously love the cutscenes and just the inane story that it tried to weave together.
Yeah.
I remember, like, Pikachu and Samus team up at one point.
Yep.
Like, this is fan fiction, weird. But it's great.
It's so good, yeah, it's so silly.
Yeah. I think I ended up, like, playing a lot of Halo 2 and stuff instead, because that did work online. Mm-hmm. But if Smash Bros. had just worked online, I probably would have played it a shitload.
Oh, yeah.
I think too, if I remember correctly, this was a time when there was a lot of, like, multiplayer options, both locally and online. If I'm not mistaken, didn't Rock Band come out somewhere around this time?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I did.
Because I remember, like...
That was, like, 06, I think.
No, Rock Band couldn't have been 06.
Maybe it could have been 08.
Guitar Hero might have been 06.
I think so, yeah. Guitar Hero was really late into the PS2 life, I think.
Yeah,
I think...
that was 05, because I played that in college.
Okay, 05 was... Yeah. So... Well, either way, I kind of remember, like, we just quickly kind of went back to Rock Band and, like, Halo, like I was talking about, and some other stuff. And I almost wonder, too, if Brawl wasn't up. I don't know if this was an issue for you guys. You guys probably held on to your controllers.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I didn't. I only had, like, one GameCube controller anymore.
Oh.
And trying to play Brawl with anything else, even the classic controller, just was
not the same at all.
I learned with the classic controller, and it's... still pretty good. I think it gets a little more shit than it deserves. Especially if you have a Classic Controller Pro, that's better.
That is much better.
But that came out like way later.
Yeah.
But yeah, we still had plenty of GameCube controllers and WaveBirds. So.
Okay, so you guys are fine. Yeah, for me and my friends, it was like, I think we had one or two GameCube controllers, a Classic controller, and then like the fourth player just had to play with the Wii Remote, which was never good. So that was kind of an issue too.
I thought the fighter selection was really strong, really diverse. Like, you got Sonic in there for the first time, had Snake.
Snake
in there was cool,
the Pokemon
yeah.
trainer had, you know, the three different Pokemon, which
Rob,
they all felt
Rob
different.
Rob the Robot.
Rob came, and I think...
Rob the Robot is, he's so
was
good.
Was Mr. Game & Watch in Melee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just tons of characters.
There's more.
I mean,
Meta Knight, well, I don't know, Meta Knight got added in Brawl.
Right. Yeah. Zero Suit Samus got added in Brawl.
And I guess I wanted to bring up Brawl and sort of these complaints that I feel like are sort of universal, at least for people our age, because I believe that Smash Bros. For Wii U pretty much rectifies all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one thing we didn't mention is tripping. Why is fucking tripping in a fighting game?
That was really bad.
Stupidest.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just add this random element of fuck you to the game.
Well, right, because fighting games are all about, like, mastery of precision. Like, your character and
it's
your
technique.
Character's ability
yeah.
and, like, knowing what to expect. And having this, like, random element in there, it was kind of stupid.
Like, I was in the middle of this perfect, like, 6-move string that I do very well, and then, like, nope, 4 moves in. Tripped.
Yeah. That wasn't an unfortunate decision on their part. And I don't remember, if you turned off items and stuff, you could still trip, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
You could never turn tripping off.
Yeah. I think that's probably why that one thing is probably why it never gained traction in the Smash Pro community.
Yeah.
That could be.
But yeah, well, that's gone now, too. So Smash Bros. For Wii U, I think, fixes a lot of these issues. First of all, let's before we jump into, like, kind of the big thing, which I think is online, how do you guys play the game? Did you guys pick up the, like, the GameCube controllers? Or
sold out, man. I'm still looking. Every time I go to the store, I look for one. But I'm playing with my Pro controller.
I've seen the controllers at the store, but I haven't seen the adapter.
Right, both. Mm-hmm. Both for me. I haven't seen either one for me.
That's the really hot item, because who needs the fucking controllers? Most of us have at least one lying around. We need the adapter. But I got it as a gift, so I just got the game, and I still only have the gamepad.
You never got a Pro controller?
No, I just never got one.
Pro controller is actually really
good.
Well,
here's the thing. I think at least 50% of my Wii U game time is spent on the gamepad alone.
Oh, really? Oh, for like virtual?
Yeah, like
for
while
like
TV's
gamepad.
On or like while I'm in bed or something like that. Like
the off-TV,
yeah. So I use off-TV play a lot. So the drive to get the Pro controller has not been there at all until right now.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of holding out, hoping that someone will get me one for Christmas.
There you go. Yeah, the Pro controller is nice. I actually play with the gamepad and have no problem with it.
Yeah, I do. It's fine.
Yeah, it works fine. I like the Pro controller just because it feels more like the GameCube controller.
Right, and it's a little lighter. I mean, it's a little less cumbersome. Like, I totally get that.
Once I get a GameCube controller, though, that's all I'm going to play with it.
Yeah, and now I'm really, like, considering getting the adapter and the controller. As, like, silly as I thought it was at the time to, like, bring it over,
I'll probably buy the controller because all my GameCube controllers are... Like, they're probably only, like, 80% good condition.
Yeah.
I would like a brand new one. That'd be wonderful.
Man, the new buttons on a GameCube controller. That would be sweet.
Yeah. All my B buttons are soft as
shit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And supposedly, I guess, if you're into emulation, that you can use the GameCube controller pretty easily with the Dolphin emulator.
Oh.
Because, you know, it's all, like, hooks up through USB.
Have you guys seen that third-party, I think it's only in Japan, third-party Mario Wii U game, well, okay, it's like a Mario-themed GameCube controller with ZR and LR buttons, and it looks really, really sexy, and you can, it acts like a Pro controller outside of Smash Brothers.
Don't they have a Yoshi one, too?
Oh, do they? I don't know, but I hope they come over here.
I think I saw that.
Because I'd actually buy that.
Yeah, no, they look pretty sweet. But yeah, so I think, and you know, I tried to play with the classic controller back on Wii, and that just didn't work for me, but for some reason, playing with either the gamepad or the Pro controller, you know, is totally fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but it totally works.
Better.
I've got no complaints. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the sticks too, yeah. And yeah, playing online, that totally works. Like, I have had very few issues.
I was shocked. Especially after the 3DS version, where I was like, I don't feel like the online works in the 3DS version, at least not for me.
It works okay for me, but it is kind of hit or miss, especially with the moving stages. Like, I quickly learned to stay away from those.
I think it's really hit or, I would say I have more matches that are unplayable than all.
Yeah.
On the 3DS. With the 3DS, do you play randomly or with friends?
Randomly, usually.
That's an
issue, because there's always one guy out there in the middle of bumfuck Egypt with no internet, somehow, like, has, like, a trickle of internet.
Playing it over 56K.
Yeah, because so far, when I'm playing with, like, up to four people. That's always with friends. I haven't entered yet a single match, like just
I haven't either.
Four-player match.
I don't need to.
I have done mostly random matches since every time I go online, it seems like none of you are there.
You have to add. How many Wii U friends do you have? You need to start adding.
I think
listeners.
I've got like 80-something.
Oh, are you? Yeah, okay? So well,
I'm
going
to have to
added.
Clean house on them or something.
I've been at 100 for like a year now. I was probably like at 100 like 6 months after.
Well,
the
yeah,
Wii U launch.
I hit that 80 or something. I think it might even be 90 something now. I hit that like within a couple months and I was like, I need to slow down.
Yeah.
I just basically stopped adding people entirely. So I need a clean house and I think I'm probably missing like 3 or 4 NWR people that I should get on there.
Yeah. Yeah. I pretty much, yeah, any listener who wanted to add me, I added. And so now I'm completely maxed out. I wish
what
that.
What about, why are they, I think a bunch of them added me too, but they're never playing Smash.
Yeah. I noticed that too.
You got all the good viewers.
I noticed a lot of people playing locally. I'm like, what the fuck? Get online.
Yeah, but no, I'm with Zach, like, every
yeah,
time
yeah, aren't
I,
you
I
shut in like me? Come on.
Every time I hop on and I check, like, someone's playing and I can just jump in the
yeah.
game. So I've done that a lot.
Let's say ask, what times of the day are you typically playing?
Like weekend nights.
Keep in mind, I live in Alaska, so whatever time I say doesn't matter to anyone else.
That's good, though. You could start at, like, 5 p.m. and all the East Coast people would be online playing.
That's true. I played one time with John and James, and it must have been, like, 2 a.m. for them.
It was 3 p.m. for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been really good. And then if I don't have any friends on playing, rather than enter just like a chaotic like 4-player match, I'll actually do a lot of 1v1 like 4 glory matches.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I should try that.
Which
is
I
that
really
where you
enjoy.
Hone your Yoshi trolling skills?
That's right. That's right. Got to master that egg. So yeah, so I'll do that, which is a lot of fun for me. But like, those are like super like harrowing and kind of frustrating. So I will do like one or two of those, and then I just have to stop. It's not that I don't enjoy it, especially if I win, I enjoy it. But it's like it; those are stressful.
Yeah,
those are
yeah,
really stressful.
I think I maybe am avoiding that due to some latent anxiety or something.
I just yeah, do single player stuff because I'm in it for the trophies, baby.
Yeah, that's fair. Well,
I'm in it for the CDs.
Yes.
Oh my god. Every time I break a challenge panel and there's a fucking CD
I'm
behind
getting
it,
my CD in the
I'm
mail.
I'm so happy.
I'm excited.
Oh, I need to do that. I need
Although
to register
it hasn't
both
sent
games,
yet.
Yeah.
That's kind of pissing me off.
I think they're probably not going to send for a while because they're probably going to
bulk
know,
mail them out.
Try and order them all at once and then ship them out once and then never touch
yeah,
them.
Yeah, probably.
Logistically, it's the very cheapest way to do it, so.
But yeah, the online works really well, and I know you were saying like latency issues, but especially 1v1, I have never had a single problem. Like 1v1, like two people just playing, like I haven't even had like stutters.
No,
well, when I play with the randos, I think it's probably like at least 60% of the matches are good, but then there's like another 10 to 15 that are like perfectly smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So most of the time it's entirely playable. So it's like, it hasn't turned me off from it. And especially if once you get a good one, most of the people will like stay for 3 or 4 matches.
Yeah.
So then you get like a couple really solid, smooth matches in. And then by that time you're like, all right, I can go do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. But yeah, the online like has totally like rekindled my love for the series. That's for sure.
I play
sure.
this more than I played Mario Kart online. Like way more.
Wow.
I've had a good chunk of it.
I haven't gotten there yet, but I will get there.
Yeah.
My wife and I were really hooked on Mario Kart for a long time.
I got Smash a week late. So for that whole week while I was waiting for it, it was coming as a birthday present. So I just played so much Mario Kart because the DLC just came out, and I was like hankering to play Smash so bad that I just had to play something else. It was like a cigarette craving or something. So I just played a shitload of Mario Kart, and it's great because all of those new DLC tracks are really good.
They are really good.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah, the Mario Kart DLC is very great. I almost wish it had come out like a little bit sooner.
I know,
I wish
it
had
come
later.
Out like in early November because yeah. I feel like a lot of people are just going to play. They probably played each of the cups and then Smash came out and then they
That's what happened
never
to me.
Play it again.
Well, I feel like Nintendo's big pull with that was get everything up, doesn't really matter when because I think the idea is have it all there by Christmas morning. So
yeah.
People get their Wii U's, they will more than likely get Mario Kart and Smash Brothers. I mean, those are the two big games. And then, you know, everything's there waiting for people to spend more money and get more content.
Yeah.
So I think that's the idea. I don't think it was on consideration
yeah.
of us. I think it was just have it there before, like, the Black Friday sales and everything like that. So, but yeah, speaking of single player, I don't really play it single player, but I love that you can play the majority of the single player modes co-op.
That's great. I haven't tried that yet.
I wish I had someone to do that with.
My wife and I, that we play through it together that way.
Nice.
Which is a lot of fun. So that's been great because she enjoys it, but I mean, she's not going to want to like really play online, with people.
Right.
She's just starting. This is her first Smash Brothers game. She played the 3DS version for a little bit when I bought it. And then, yeah, once this came out, she was really excited. So we go through all like the single player
stuff.
So
if you go through like classic with two characters, do you get both trophies?
Yes.
Oh man, I need to find
a partner.
Oh my
god, so efficient. Oh.
Yeah, so you could burn through it. Yeah. I mean, if you guys want to really get through it, I guess you could almost just like have a second player there that's not being controlled and just
sitting there.
Yeah.
And let it die.
Go. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can let it die. If you let it die, you might lose. I don't know. But yeah, but it's been fun.
I'm going to try that now.
Yeah. It's good.
And the events are really fun. Those return from Brawl.
Event mode, yeah, I cracked into that to unlock those. There's the three stages that unlock in event mode.
Some of them are really, really hard. Like, Even the ones you think would be kind of easy, they're super hard. Like, there's one where you have to keep a bunch of Mr. Game & Watches off the level. They're floating
down. I got
that
one on the first try.
Oh, man, it was killing me because you have to use an up smash, and I am not familiar with Falco's timing at all, so I just kept fucking up.
Oh, I just jumped up and hit them like midair.
Oh, I tried to do that, but they didn't move. Maybe it was a glitch or something. I was like, oh, you have to hit him with up A? That sucks. But I did it eventually.
Wow.
And now I'll never use Falco again.
So not event mode, but I spent like an hour or maybe almost an hour, like two nights ago, trying to get 110 KOs with Bowser in the 3-minute smash, because it's one of the challenges challenge.
Oh, cool. Did you get it?
After like an hour.
Nice.
Like, I had to refine the strategy down. Like, I just like dug into it. I was like, all right, these are the best set of moves, and if I kind of like move them in this rotation, I can avoid all the damage and make sure it's not so much taking the damage, it's the fact that when the Mii Brawler gets you, you're stuck in that for like 3 or 4 seconds, and I need those seconds to kill dudes. So if you get caught in too many of those, you get fucked,
you
and then you die with like time runs out, or you like get a cheap KO and you're at like 98 KOs. Or you don't do it fast enough, and you're like, it's like I have 10 seconds left, and I need 20 more KOs.
Right.
But I finally got it after an hour, and it felt so so good. I love that feeling. As much as I hate all the, like, the way I'm crushing myself while I'm doing it. But I got a CD for that shit, so yeah.
Nice.
Have you guys messed around with Amiibo at all?
I have a Samus Amiibo that I put on the system and then haven't touched again.
I have a Samus there. And then Amanda bought Pikachu.
Oh, nice.
So I'm messing around with them. They're both, like, level 40-something, 46, 47.
What do you do? Now,
they're just AI, and like, they learn from you, kind of.
Okay.
So, well, like, yeah, you battle you them.
Like, I read a thing on Reddit of a guy who took he did this, like, crazy, like, thorough, like, amiibo, like, blind study where, he had one amiibo, or no, he had four, he bought, like, four, like, Yoshis or something, and he trained one of them only in no item Final Destination matches. He trained one of them in like all item, like whatever, like, you know, normal. And then, I think with one of them, he like only did coin battle.
and then the other one, he locked under the staircase and ignored and like,
no, I guess the fourth one would technically be the control group because it was the one that was kind of like given equal exposure to all parts of the game.
Would like play in all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like regular, quote unquote, regular amiibo use. And then he made them all four. He got them all to level 50 and, he had them all fight each other. And like watched how they reacted and shit. Like one of them, there's a level 50 amiibo doesn't know how to use a fucking item at all. Cause it never saw one during its training.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was really, so I guess that when I read that, I was like, oh, okay. So this isn't just some bullshit. It's like, it does actually do something. You can actually train it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to get a couple.
It's crazy that somebody did that in all.
And they did it in like
the
first weekend.
Game's been out for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, it is pretty quick to level them up, especially if that's all like you're dedicating yourself to.
And if they fight, I have two of them. If they fight each other, they gain experience at a higher rate.
Mm. Well, and they gain more experience if they fight like more powerful enemies.
And also I did a couple with both of them in there one afternoon. I did like 4 or 5 8 player smashes with just like say, like with 5 CPUs. So they leveled up real fast. Like they got almost like 20, 30 something levels just from like those couple of matches.
Oh wow.
Player. Cause they're gaining double, they're gaining at a higher rate and there's so much shit going on. They're gaining it at a higher speed too.
I thought you had to feed them equipment to make them level up.
No, they level up just by fighting. You can feed them up equipment and do them that way too though.
I see.
Right.
And then they pick up the effects of the equipment. Like,
I see. Okay.
So you can kind of give them like superpowers and then, it's taken me forever to unlock all the special moves in this game, so I haven't gotten any special moves on them yet.
Yeah, I do kind of wish that some more shit transferred over from 3DS.
Yeah, well, and did you guys do that? I was trying to get equipment and special moves real fast, so there's this trick on the 3DS if you go through classic mode. You get that spinner that shows you what prize you're going to get.
Right.
And if you press the home button on the system, it freezes for like a second, and you can see it for a second before like the 3DS menu comes up.
Yeah.
So you can time it and make sure that the thing on the spinner is going to be the thing you want. So I would always make sure it landed on equipment, so I gained equipment super fast in the 3DS version.
That would drive me nuts because it takes the system like 5 seconds
The spinner moves really fast, so you have to stop it, and you're like, shit, I gotta try again. And then you gotta stop it, and you're like, shit, I gotta try again.
It's like a 10-minute endeavor.
It was probably 10 or 30 or something seconds, depending on how quickly you get it. Eventually, I got better at like reading it and knowing when it was gonna stop, so I could get the home menu trick more frequently. And then you hit home, you hold the A button down, and you hit home, and then when the game pops back up, you're just boom.
Oh, I see.
That makes sense. Well, you just gotta wait for the new 3DS to come out, and then that home menu will pop up like
right away.
So fast you won't be able to do it. Yeah. So I haven't tried it in the Wii U version, but also, classic mode's not nearly as good in this version for grinding gear. Like the 3DS version, it's so easy to grind for gear.
Yeah, the classic in this is not, I don't think it's as good. I like it better on 3DS where you pick that path. Like I don't like, more than half the fights in Classic now are...
You don't even take part in.
Giant eight... Yeah, exactly.
It's like Special Smash. It's kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
I was really disappointed in Classic mode, and I'm going to have to grind it for that challenge wall.
And All-Star is fucking hard.
Yeah.
All-Star is harder.
The whole game is harder than the 3DS version. I like that. Yeah. It's weighted tougher, but it's hard to get used to, especially All-Star.
Yeah, I've only gone through it like twice. And on 3DS, I've beaten All-Star and Classic with every character.
Yeah, me too. Oh, I haven't beaten All-Star with everybody yet, but I'm getting there.
It's a grind. I got real sick of it.
Yeah.
But I did it. Challenge wall.
Challenge wall, baby.
I love the Neil was talking about the challenge wall on one of these episodes. I think the 3DS version, challenge wall is like, I love it. It's just, it gets you to do all these neat things.
True.
If you don't want to do Smash, if you just don't want to play like regular Smashes, go to the challenge wall and just start clearing shit out. Cause it'll be like, hit the sandbag somewhere between 15 and 1600 feet. Like, get 150,000 on the second target blast stage with Young Link. It's just like, it just gives you all these creative, like, things. If you just wanted to do something at random, you could kind of just go there.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about it is, you have to go to the challenge wall and look up the challenges, and you have to dig out and go to the other parts of the menu to actually do them.
You can't just go right there.
This is what I'm supposed to do. There should be a button that says, all right, do that. Take me to that immediately. I think that's literally the only thing I don't like about the game.
Nice.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I am kind of disappointed that there is nothing like the Subspace Emissary.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah, there's not a...
But guys, there's Smash Tour.
Campaign version. Oh, jeez. You know what? I haven't even touched that yet.
Smash Tour, the thing you play 3 times to unlock Pac-Land, the worst stage in the history of Smash Bros.
Oh, fuck that. No, sorry, Jungle Hijinks is the worst.
When you're in that back area?
No. The one from like the N64 game with the stream in the bottom.
Oh, yeah, I'm not crazy about that one. It's so small.
Oh, I hate that stage. I hate that stage. Yeah.
You know, I was never one of those guys, but now that I've played it enough, I think I do enjoy, like, the Final Destination levels more than, like, the regular one. In most cases, not in every case, because some of the levels are big and nice, but,
some of them are way too big.
Well, yeah, you get into
like
that problem.
Palutena's
too.
Temple, good lord.
Way too big.
If you
yeah,
don't
I know.
Have eight people, don't pick
it's
that
an
stage.
Eight player. Yeah, it is an 8-player stage. So is Great Cave Offensive. They're both absolutely
oh my gosh, I made the
absurd.
Mistake of picking that one time. Oh my god. The stage
one
kills you more than
neat.
Your opponents.
Yeah, one thing I do think is neat about Great Cave Offensive is when it gets down to like two or three people, because I usually play stock, the camera zooms in, so it's like you're all of a sudden you're on this very tiny part of the stage, but it
True.
Looks like the whole stage.
True.
That's pretty neat. Do you guys play more stock or time?
Stock, for sure.
Stock. Why is time the default? I don't know anybody that uses it.
I like coin, though. Coin is fun. It's a good mix-up.
The only time I play time matches is after I know I've played, like, 10 online matches. I'll go, and I'll do, like, a one-minute timed match against the computer, get one kill, and just wait for the clock to run down. And then that way I can, you know, face the next secret character to unlock them.
Oh, good idea.
Oh, I didn't go through them like that. Most of the characters you can unlock, like, much quicker some other way.
Yeah, but I don't mess with any. I just play online, really.
I like digging into all the little parts of Smash, so I'm just going to do these other things.
Yeah, no, like, when I'm playing...
Beat Classic once with someone, and then you get, I think that's how you get one of them. And it's like,
right.
So I could play 10 matches, or I could go through Classic, which is only 7 rounds. It's faster, and I'm going to gain equipment and gear and stuff. So yeah, I'm really trying to, like, I guess, grind out and collect everything.
I still need Duck Hunt Dog.
Oh, you got to get Duck Hunt Dog.
I know. He's actually really good.
Oh, he's so good. I was so happy when they were like, Duck Hunt Dog. And I was like, are you kidding me, Duck Hunt Dog? Really? Like, Duck Hunt Dog is Mr. Game & Watch for this game. Like, when they were like, Mr. Game & Watch, and everyone was like, really? That is absolutely insane, and also he's a fantastic character.
Yeah.
And then they did it in Brawl with Rob the Robot. And now they did it again with the Duck Hunt Dog.
And Wii Fit Trainer to some extent.
But the thing, those three things are all super retro.
True, yeah.
That's the thing that really draws me to all three of them. But then also they're all very good characters.
So,
yeah, totally.
So we know Scott's maining Yoshi. Who are you maining, Mike?
Pac-Man I like a lot. I really like Duck Hunt Dog.
Pac-Man is really good.
I'm using Lucina. I used to use Marth a lot on Melee, but I never got, like, pro-level good at Melee, even though I played it, like, every damn day.
Yeah.
Because we liked playing with items and all that shit, so we always had fun with it. So I really like Lucina, because she's, like, Marth Light.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need the precision. Like, with Marth, if you truly want to be great, you have to hit people with the point of the blade.
Yeah.
Because it does way more damage. But with Lucina, it's just the fucking same, so it's perfect for me. But she's still... Other than that, she is Marth. It's just that one change, and it makes her way better.
Oh, yeah. I like Zero Suit Samus.
I'm trying her out.
I'm getting really good at Jigglypuff.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I've played some games with you playing as Jigglypuff. I thought you were just fucking around.
Oh,
I've
no.
been playing some Greninja, too. I like Greninja.
Greninja's good, yeah.
I've been messing around with almost all of the new characters. I haven't really played much as any of the old characters, actually.
Man, they nerfed Pikachu so hard. I'm so sad about
that. Yeah. I play as Mario sometimes. I like Mario.
Yeah.
But I like Dr. Mario more because he still has the spin attack. The flood thing is just useless.
Yeah, the flood is stupid, yeah.
And the cape thing is pretty useless, too.
I think the cape's pretty handy. If you're good at it and you play with items, especially if you play with
items,
yeah,
it can knock items away.
It'll be
really
good.
Like, yeah, it can get pretty trolly. Doesn't it also, like, spin players around if you
do
it next to
them? Yeah, it turns people around, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty trolly is, like, the perfect description for it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you're good at using that, like, you can just annoy your opponent till he quits, basically.
Yeah, Dr. Mario's the bomb. Bowser's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is, actually.
Bowser is, like, I've been playing, because one of the challenge mode things in the 3DS version was beat the game on level 8 or 9 or something with Bowser. And Bowser's really good for that because he's a tank. He can take so much damage before he dies. And then on top of that, he does crap loads of damage.
Yeah, his smashes are like insta-kills.
They're so good.
Yeah.
he's definitely the absolute best of the heavyweight characters. Just destroys people with him.
I find that Donkey Kong's not a great heavyweight because he goes flying really easily.
I've hated DK in every Smash game.
Yeah.
Also, I really hate Diddy.
Diddy's a fucking troll too, man.
Diddy is the ultimate troll in this game.
Yeah.
It's every time I'm like, this Diddy can't be that good, and you just, the computer is so good with him. I think it's one of the computer's best characters.
That freaking peanut gun. That's what does it.
I can never do that well with it.
You guys mess around with Little Mac at all?
I did on 3DS. He's good. He's kind of limited in what he can do. I really think his KO power is so fucking cheap.
Do you?
Oh yeah. Like no other character, if they take, what is it, like the 75, is 75% or something?
Something around there.
When you get 75%. No other character gets an insta KO. I mean, like, come on.
It's like he gets a final smash when he hits.
Exactly.
And he doesn't even need to hit 100. At least make him hit 100.
Yeah. To be fair, though, Little Mac, like, has no real jump ability.
He's no air game at all.
That's not where you play Smash.
I think he gets that because it's, like, he's also easier to knock off now. So if you get him, like, off the stage at all, he's pretty much dead. You know, it's to kind of balance that out, but.
Yeah, if you get him off, he's pretty much.
I don't know. Did you guys ever see that? I think it was in the 3DS version came out, but it was a picture like on like it was probably like a Final Destination stage.
It was like they both do it.
What's that?
They both do the super KO punch thing.
No. It was
it's like
it
the ground like, is highlighted.
Right. And it was
Little
like
Mac, it says fucking OP.
Yeah, and it's like it's just this green strip across the bottom, like across the floor of the stage, and then like everywhere else, it's just like. Little Mac
useless.
Is fucked or something. Yeah, useless.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
So he was like, yeah, just good, like, just on the ground. Like, but yeah, anything off the ground was, like, just completely worthless.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I know, I just Googled it.
I know our, you know, friend of the show, Travis, he likes to use Little Mac a lot. He's gotten pretty good.
Yeah, he does. He's good with Little Mac.
I've been using the Wii Fit Trainer more. I really like the Wii Fit Trainer.
She's really good, or he's... Yeah.
I usually play as the dude in the yellow. I don't know why. I like it. It's like a nice mustard shade.
I really like
the Wii Fit Trainer. It's got like the charge shot move with the
sun salutation.
And I like that. It's got like the breathing move.
Yeah,
where you can regain. What is it? So you regain a little health, but what's the other? Does it? It boosts you somehow.
Your attack
for a little
goes
bit?
Up or something.
Is it attack? I wasn't sure if it was attack or if it was launch.
Oh,
it might be
maybe
launch.
Maybe it's both.
That would be really good. Somehow I suck at it, though. I always seem to hit it just a hair
me
too,
too
late.
Yeah.
I gotta learn the timing.
I'm paying attention
on it.
To like, oh my god, are people gonna come kill me while I'm doing this 5 second thing?
I pretty much, you can do it, I guess it's got a cooldown, because if it's been long enough, if you do it, it's real quick.
Oh.
So, and also when you do it right at the start of the match, if you do it immediately, it's also super quick right there. It's like, boom. So also, it's kind of a moving target. I never know exactly how fast it's gonna go.
Yeah.
So I can't, like, just prepare and be like, now. But I like the Wii Fit Trainer guy. It's got good smashes. I'm still don't really know how to use the soccer headbutt move.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't get it. Got a good recovery. I like the Wii Fit. I like the Wii Fit Trainer. It's really good smashes. Also, I love that, like, the Wii Fit Trainer basically, like, super trolls with his commentary the whole time.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
He's just like, expand your back out and you know, and feel the burn or something. It's just, and it's just this stupid Wii Fit Trainer voice. It's completely out of place in the game. Yeah. And he's so calm. It's so insulting.
So we talked a little bit about the Duck Hunt dog and how that's kind of an amazing, great character who I don't think anyone expected. So what comes next? What random crazy character
say we got to tone down the Fire Emblem characters?
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're like a fifth of the roster.
I've always
it's
thought
the
it's
third most represented franchise in Super Smash Brothers. It is behind Mario and Zelda, and then it's fucking Fire Emblem.
More than Pokemon?
Like, what? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Pokemon, it might be Pokemon now, but like, yeah, I agree with Mike.
It might have been tied with Pokemon. I think there's been more Pokemon overall, but never in one individual entry.
I guess Fire Emblem is just that big in Japan. I mean, obviously, like half the characters haven't even appeared in games that we get here in the U.S.
Like, I deleted the Game Boy Advance game. I don't give a shit.
Did you ever play? You never played Awakening, though, did you?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
The only one I played a serious amount of was the one that was an ambassador title.
Yeah,
that's the one I deleted.
Yeah, I played a chunk of that over a Thanksgiving. I played it like nonstop for one whole like Thanksgiving weekend.
You didn't play Awakening either?
No, and then because I got bored of it, and I was like, this is a fucking slog, that's why I didn't play Awakening. Yeah.
Awakening is so good. Listen, I didn't just give that game a 9.5 on Nintendo World Report for nothing. It is very, very good.
I've heard it's the best Fire Emblem game.
It for sure is.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of Fire Emblem, I have been playing as Robin a lot, though.
Robin is actually pretty good.
I like Robin quite a bit.
That's so funny that you have, like, no tie to the series whatsoever, at least the game she's from.
I dug into all the new characters just to see what they were like, and I came away really surprised by how much I liked Robin.
You know who's not very good is Shulk. Shulk kind of blows.
I kind of like Shulk.
I don't like his different...
His counter sucks.
His different stance shit. Like, just give me a character I don't have to worry about. Mm.
I hate his counter because it's so slow. Like, by the time the counter triggers, half the time the guy's nowhere near you anymore.
And his up smash is kind of useless.
Like I think it's one of those... I think it's a thing where if you hit it again at the top, he swipes again. No,
he just makes this beam of light. Or is that his down smash?
No, it's... Down smash is the counter.
Oh, no, I'm not as special as smash.
Oh, his smash. Oh.
Yeah.
His down smash is the one where he goes in a circle.
Okay, then the up smash is the beam of light.
It's like a really narrow beam of light, yeah.
Like, directly on him. It's not even in front of him. It pisses me off.
I did not like Shulk very much on the 3DS version, because I don't know, maybe I'm just, like, dumb, but I couldn't juggle the Monado thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's no, you have to memorize the order and the colors because I'm sure if I lived in Japan, I could just read the giant Japanese character behind him. Like, that's really super useful if you live in Japan, or you know Japanese, but I can't do that. So I never learned it on the 3DS, but on the Wii U version, it put the word, I mean, it's got the Japanese character, but then the word, the English translation is right above it and it's down by his damage meter.
True.
So I've learned it immediately. Like, within a weekend, I was like, oh, I know the order now. I know how to cancel it out. I know how to switch in between them. And when you can do that, Shulk gets way better.
Okay.
Basically, you always want to be in almost always want to be in one of the last two modes. The first one is Buster, which is increased damage. And then you turn that one on quick and kind of, like, rack everybody up. And then you switch to the fifth one, which is Smash, and that cranks up your launch power. So you got them up to higher damage faster, and then you just beat the shit out of them off the stage. And then by the time you, like, start doing a bunch of damage, you're getting a bunch of damage yourself, then you switch to Shield when you're, like, at 80, 90-something. You move super slow, but you're like a beast. Like, no one can hit you. You don't flinch. Like, it's great.
Huh.
And then I don't ever use Speed, really. And I have a feeling that jump would be super useful if I get like crazy good at the Monado, if you could toggle him in midair when you're flying off the stage, like as you're flying, if you can switch to jump mode.
Oh yeah.
You can recover faster. Yeah. So if you can do that and like really game his Monado, you can be a terror.
Huh.
Yeah. But see, like that to me is like a character that, yeah, requires a lot of finesse.
He's the most advanced character.
That's a skill character for sure. I felt like Snake was kind of like that in Brawl.
Yeah.
Like Snake wasn't definitely a character you just jumped into to have fun. Like that's a character you kind of had to master. And I feel like
it's the same
with Shulk.
Had to learn all of his range attacks.
Yeah.
I tell you about who's happy here, are Sheik players because Sheik now has a down B attack.
Yeah.
And it's so good. That bouncing fish move. It just crushes people. It's hard to hit. It's really hard to hit with like Zero Suit Samus's like back kick thing, her down B move, because you have
to
launch
it. It works a lot.
You have to launch it and then you have to trigger it. And if you hit someone with either of those moves, if they're at any decent percentage point, they are going to go flying, or they'll spike if you're off the side of the stage.
Can one of you explain why Olimar is still a character? Because he sucks so much.
I don't know.
I kind of like Olimar.
Now, what is the point of Olimar? It's like all of his moves are either pulling Pikmin out of the ground or rearranging them.
I do wish that he just always had three Pikmin or he auto-plucked them. It's really annoying that one move is dedicated to plucking and the other move is dedicated to recalling them.
Yeah.
I really like, I kind of wish it was like Rosalina and Luma, where you can charge up the, you hit B to charge up the Luma and fire it, and then if you want the Luma to come back, you just hit B again.
Yeah.
Like, do that with Olimar.
I like playing against Rosalina and Luma because I just troll Luma. Because Rosalina is useless without Luma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you get rid of Luma, it's... Have we missed any of the new characters? We didn't really talk about Duck Hunt Dog.
I mean, we just said he was great.
I love it. It's so good. It's a fun character to troll people with because you can... I love shooting that little clay disc out. That's right. Like my favorite move of his because it covers so much range. You're like, I'm going to send it out. It's if there's enough chaos going on, it's practically invisible to everyone else.
True.
And all of a sudden, they're just like, smack, 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 and they're just like, they don't know what hit them. It's so... And his smash attacks, they get pretty good range, too, if you charge them up all the way.
Yeah,
I just love the whole duck. Zapper, the mysterious god zapper that he has, where it's like for supposed to be someone standing in front of your TV shooting, like all of his moves, if you hit someone with a smash attack, the little targeting crosshair comes up like there's someone standing in front of the TV. I think that's pretty, it's pretty funny. And his final smash is so funny. And he's adorable. How adorable is like duck riding on the back of the dog, and then when they recover and he flaps over the stage. It makes me so happy. It's like the most joyous part of Smash Brothers to me that they did that. And they gave him a stage. The Duck Hunt stage is really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I know. He was a total surprise. Like, to go from a character you didn't even know was going to be in it to being, like, probably one of the best characters in the game. Or at least, like, most enjoyable to play.
Top tier one, guys. Tier one.
Yeah.
Tier one.
Scott, you say, like, who's next, but I don't know if you read that story earlier today or yesterday, but I think Sakurai's done with Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah. I know he's done with it, so I don't know who picks up the series next.
Well, but which characters they add next?
I'd like Wart to get in there.
I've been begging for Birdo.
Birdo, man. Why isn't Birdo in the game?
Yeah, Birdo would be so sense. Good.
It could even be like a color change for Yoshi.
It could even just be Yoshi and just share a lot of the attacks with Yoshi and then just replace the tongue move with an egg cannon.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good. Take my money, Nintendo. I will $10 for I will buy that for one character if it's Birdo.
The mask could be an assist trophy.
Oh, we didn't talk about Bowser Jr.
He sucks dick.
I don't know. I kind of like him. He's fun to play as, and I like that you can be all the Koopa Kids.
The Koopa Kids thing is great, but, like, all their attacks except that mecha, except the cannon, which doesn't actually have great range, and the Mecha Koopa, which is weak, all of his attacks are like, you have to be in the dude's face to do any damage.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty good point. I usually use a lot of the little clown car move, where he speeds around on the clown car, or I will run in and do his running forward attack where he pulls out the drills.
The drills, yeah, that's a good one.
His attacks. He is like an up close brawler basically, and then he's got a couple of shitty range attacks, and then he's got the cannon, which is the cannon's pretty good if you have a chance to charge it up.
Yeah,
yeah.
What do you guys think of the stages?
There are way too many moving stages, just like the 3DS game. Like,
I like almost all of the stages in this game. Pac-Land is amazingly terrible. I don't understand how bad it is and why they even chose to use fucking Pac-Land.
Jungle like, Japes. Again,
and the thing is,
terrible.
Like, the Pac-Man stage on the 3DS version is one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love the Pac-Maze. Just give me that. It's so good.
I'm not a huge fan of the moving stages, but like I said, I love that every stage now has a like Final Destination version.
Option, yeah.
That's great.
So you, at least you get to hear like the music, you see the background, like you kind of get a feel for it. So it's at least something different going on.
Yeah,
I think
really,
that's really cool.
Really great choice.
But yeah, I'm not huge into, it's just too chaotic. I mean, I get, you know, and we haven't really talked about how we like to play Smash, you know, whether we like items or don't like items, but I'm kind of the, I mean, items are fine and it can be fun somewhat, but I'm of the like kind of mindset that I prefer a little less chaos when I'm playing.
Yeah.
And the moving stages tend to have a lot of chaotic elements, especially the Star Fox one. Where like ships are just exploding constantly, and like
that stage is beautiful though.
Like,
God, it is really pretty.
Oh yeah, for sure. But there's just so much going on that you can't really focus on like actually fighting.
I played a match with John and James where the only item was that wind cannon.
Oh God,
I hate that thing
so hard.
Oh, it's such a troll. It's like such a troll item.
Yeah, it really is. I won that round somehow.
I bet I know how. You blew everybody off the stage and never let them recover.
Right.
Exactly.
That weapon is so overpowered.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
I like playing with Pokeballs and assist trophies, like summons.
Pokeballs and assist trophies are the best thing that happened because of Brawl.
It's true.
It's Pokemon, but with things that aren't Pokemon.
Yeah
that's
it's the
true.
Best. And some of them are so, so absurd. Like, the only one I really don't
like
is the
Pong
dog.
One.
The dog one drives me nuts because it's just like we're going to make
sucks.
The game unfun for about 25 seconds. But
you know, I've
one...
never gotten the dog. When you get the dog yourself, like, can you see? Like, can
yeah,
you
it's
see
easy
it?
For everyone. It's just
you
like, haha,
either.
You're all fucked.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so dumb. I really like. I love old school Andross. That's a good one.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And I like the.
I don't like the number doctor from Brain Age. That's kind of dumb.
That one's kind of, yeah. But yeah, the assist trophies and Pokeballs
are
really
good. Any assist trophy that also hurts the person who used it, I don't like.
I love the Mother Brain assist trophy.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
That one's good, yeah.
You can kill
that's probably my favorite one. That's.
I love that there's a Dylan trophy of all things. Like, that's so random.
Yeah.
So I usually play with all items. Like, I usually play the game, like, on almost all of the defaults, except that I switch it over to stock, because I really, who plays? I get why they use time mode online. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because then no one gets stuck waiting. Like no one dies early and has to sit around for the rest of the fucking match. Which
right.
I always liked doing. We always played stock, and then, because then if you died early, you eventually got down to one-on-one and you got to watch the drama of the final fight, like, just from the audience. So it was still entertaining. But I get it. Why is it 2 fucking minutes? You couldn't do 1 more minute?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
1 more, because the thing with the 2 minute match is you probably die 2 times, or maybe if you're 1 time. It gives the heavy fighters like Bowser a serious advantage because it takes so long for them to die the first time that they're not going to die the second time.
Yeah. That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Just 3 minutes. Come on. Just 3 minutes. Or give an option. You know, do you want to play 2, 3, or 5, or, you know, and then just put people in 3 different lobbies. Some people like a longer match.
There you go.
Speaking of lobbies, I kind of wish there was an option to, like, when you're playing friend matches, have more people kind of join and then kind of swap in as games are going on. We've already run into, like, problems all the time where a room, like, it fills up and we've got other people who kind of want to play, or at least even, like, spectate, but it's just not an option.
Yeah.
Or sometimes, like, when you're trying to join a room, it'll claim to have only 3 people in an open slot, but then when you click on it, oh no, actually it's full.
Right.
Oh, the page didn't refresh. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Or thanks, Nintendo. That's not your fault, but.
Scott, you mentioned spectating. Well, I was doing chores one day and I was playing the game and I was like in the, started doing chores. So I just put spectate mode on and I got sucked into it for like 2 hours.
No way.
Oh my God.
Well, I was doing chores the whole time.
In front of the TV?
Well, because I like fold. I was doing like all my laundry, folding my laundry, and I have a big like my house is got like a. There's one the one half of the house with all the bedrooms is really closed off, but the other half of the house is super open, and you can see the TV from almost anywhere. So I just put it on, and you can bet on matches with your gold, which is totally useless. So I just bet the house every time. And it's fun because you put your money on who you think's going to win, and then you have, even though it's fake money, you immediately have a vested interest in the match.
Yeah.
So it's, and it shows a pretty good chunk of 2v2 for glory matches. And some of the people who play, like Scott, you were saying you were hoping you could hop online with your friend and play 2v2 for glory matches and just, like, destroy people. Those are really fun to watch.
Really? I gotta check
really,
it
out. Because there's so much drama inside that 2 minutes, and you're like, oh, are these two characters going to work well together, or are these two characters going to work well together? And it's usually, it seems like 9 times out of 10, the two people are sitting on the couch playing two other people sitting on a couch. Every now and then you'll get a match where it's four randos, and those aren't that good. But the part where it's the real 2v2s, some of the people are really good, and they'll pick, like, a good combination of characters, and they'll be constantly, like, rotating back and forth. Like, you can tell they've thought about the attack plan a lot.
Oh, jeez.
It's like beach volleyball. Like, beach volleyball is 2v2, and, like, there's a really tight bond between how those two people have, like, a flow, and they get really good at it, specifically with each other. It's exactly like that.
You know, it doesn't surprise me that would be exciting to watch. I mean, I actually already enjoy watching esports and stuff, so I could see, especially the betting mechanic, I could see how that would get pretty.
Yeah, you can only bet 100 gold, but it's weighted, so it gives you everyone's like win percentage. And then shows you like a little arrow, which I guess is kind of like their streak. Like, are they super hot right now, or are they kind of or I think that's what the arrow means. So it gives you that, and the lower the win percentage, the more the winnings. So if you pick the obvious favorite, you only double up. It's just 2x, but if you pick, like, a super underdog, it's 10x.
Huh.
And right now, a lot of people have 0% win percentages, I'm assuming because it's their first time online. So if you pick, they're always at 10x, so I always pick them. It's only 100 gold, and if I get it right, I get 1,000 gold. And I get more than 1 out of every 10 right, so I'm making a profit, quote-unquote. Because more times than, maybe not more times than not, but often enough, they just come in and dominate.
They're not
matchmaked with anyone yet, so they get matched with some noob and they just flatten them immediately.
I can just see like a cottage actual gambling industry forming over there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then you can go on streaks though. So if I bet 100 gold on a 10x underdog, I've got 1,000 gold and you're allowed to continue your streak and double your money. So I can go from 100 to 1,000 to 2,000 in 3 matches.
Gotta keep it alive!
So yeah, it's surprisingly entertaining. The only problem is that you have to constantly like run back to the gamepad every 2 minutes to put your bet in.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, eventually the timer runs out and it just shows the match.
Alright, well I think that is going to about do it for the segment. Wow. I wondered.
You may need to do another one because I did not get to talk about my music at all.
We're gonna have a music segment though.
That's true.
We will have to talk about
the My Music segment on our Smash Brothers music segment.
There you go. So that's when we'll do that. And that is a reminder, if you haven't sent your track in, we've gotten a couple now, which is awesome. Send in your favorite Smash Brothers remix. Could be from, you know, Melee onward. Like I talked about with Zach, I don't think they did music remixes in the N64 game, did they?
I don't
know.
I have that game. I can actually play it.
I need to go back and check the soundtrack and see. But I know it was, you know, from Melee onward, it's been a big component of the game.
Yeah. So before you send in your favorite tracks, go to the My Music menu, because there are some fucking gems hidden there that are set to almost never play that you are going to want to crank all the way up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll try that.
And then there are some default songs, like the one for Norfair where it's like, Samus is the hero, blah, 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 at the very beginning, and I just want to murder myself every time I hear it. Even though the rest of the song is fine, I cannot get past the awful intro, so I just turned it off completely.
Nice. All right, so yeah, send your submissions to connectivity@nintendoreport.com. As we've already said, we're kind of all packed up on our friends list and our Wii U, but
I've got space. Please add me.
I still have space as well.
If you are online, I live on the East Coast. If you are online often in the evenings or at pretty much any time on the weekends, especially once college football season is over, please add me, Striker Obi. Please send me friend requests. I need people to play with.
There you go. Zach, what's yours?
I'm Halbred, H-A-L-B-R-E-D.
And then I'm OK Soda. The letter's OK and then the word soda. My list is for sure full, but if you send me a request, and if you send a little message saying who you are, and especially if it's someone I already, like, kind of talked to on Twitter and stuff, I usually try to make room. I kind of just go through my list, and if I see someone hasn't logged in for, like, 20 days, I'm like, okay, well, you're off the list.
That's what I do on 3DS,
Please put something like Connectivity Fan or something in the message. Yeah. I hate getting a blank friend request, and I have no idea who the person is at all.
Yeah, you gotta remember, Mike's very pretty, and he gets a lot of pervs on the internet coming after him, so he's gotta know you're legit.
I turned on WeChat once, and never again.
Yeah. So, alright, well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sure we'll be talking more Smash in the future. In the very least, we'll be talking Smash music. So look forward to that, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
Shit! Get your towels ready, it's about to go down! Everybody in the place hit the fucking deck! But stay on your motherfucking toes! We running this, let's go!
I'm on a boat! I'm on a boat! Everybody look at me, cause I'm sailing on a boat! I'm on a boat! I'm on a boat! Take a good hard look at the motherfucking boat!
I'm on a boat, motherfucker, take a look at me! Straight floating on a boat on the T2C. Busting five knot, wind whipping out my coat. You can't stop me, motherfucker, cause I'm on a boat.
Picture trick, I'm on a boat, bitch. We drinking Santana champ, cause it's so crisp. I got my swim trunks and my flipping floppies. I'm flipping burgers, you at Kinko, straight flipping cabbage.
I'm riding on a dolphin, doing flips and shit. The dolphin's splashing.
Hey everybody, Alex Palafi here, and today I am joined by two very special people to discuss Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. The first is NWR's very own Brian Rose.
Hi everybody.
And the second is the proprietor of Cerebi.net, home to one of the best and most important Pokemon fan resources on the entire internet, Cerebi Joe Merrick.
Oh, you make me blush. Hello everyone.
But I mean, it's true, like... And when it started, and we actually had have an interview on this website where Joe goes into this, but at the beginning, this was just a humble fan website, but because you had your niche, we've now gotten to the point in 2014 where places like VP on 4chan, when something's confirmed, they make sure Cerebi confirms it.
Yeah.
But what cool stuff have you guys been up to lately?
Well... covering all of Auras non-stop since launch. That's right. Everything. That has been my life.
Have you actually had days where you were playing the game 24 hours straight?
Yes, that was when I began.
Oh boy. And then, I guess we shouldn't go into it too quickly, but how has covering the game been for you? Has it been easier than other Pokemon games? Has it been harder?
It's been a bit easier, really. I mean, it wasn't as tricky as last year, but...
Right, because X and Y was a new region, new everything. This one, exactly. We at least had Hoenn, and then, as we'll get into, the game ended up being pretty close to the originals, at least region-wise.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so there was probably a little bit less. So, getting started off, let's talk about... the original games these are based on, Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, and I'm interested in finding out from you guys what your experience with these games are, because I'm 20 years old, so the way this ended up lining up for me, this was my big schoolyard Pokemon game. This is the one I was playing, where I was trading with everyone, I was playing with everyone, we were all going into each other's secret bases, and this is probably the Pokemon game I remember best, and the Pokemon game I remember fondest, but Brian... let's start with you. What's your experience with the originals?
Well, for me, the game that I grew up on was Red and Blue. Okay. And then I got into Gold and Silver, and I liked both of those games very much. And I liked Ruby and Sapphire in the end. I mean, there was a lot of things that were taken out that I liked in Gold and Silver. But in the end, I liked it. There's a lot of new Pokemon. There's a lot of Pokemon that I liked. And, I like the game overall, but I like Gold and Silver more. It's that, Gold and Silver is probably my top Pokemon game of all time.
Sure, and it's actually funny the way you're describing that, because I would still describe you as one of the people I know who has one of the most positive opinions of Ruby and Sapphire. Based on the relatively lukewarm thing you just said, you still have one of the highest opinions out of anyone I know of Ruby and Sapphire. Because, oh boy, were these games divided. What were you saying?
No, I've beaten it so many times, so I'm familiar with it. I like it.
So, just, Cerebi, what's your approach to all this? Because you are one of the end-all, be-alls of all Pokemon coverage? What's your approach to Ruby and Sapphire compared to all the other ones? Not even coverage-wise, just what do you think of it compared to all the other Pokemon games?
Well, that's really, really tricky, because Ruby and Sapphire brought so many amazing things, but they were also the games that almost pushed me out of my love for the franchise.
Ooh.
they're great, but I don't know, just didn't quite hit me right.
They're great, but they almost push me out of the franchise. Do you know how bad a game has to be to push you not only out of a game, but out of entire series that you had been playing for 10 years before that?
Well, I'm probably hyperbolizing a little, just a tad. But, the region, I didn't quite take to it, and bits of it felt half complete, like you never faced a rival with their final evolution in the original Ruby and Sapphire, which always felt off to me, and you couldn't transfer from Gold and Silver, that felt off to me. But they brought such amazing things to the entire series, like abilities and natures and the whole brand new IV and EV system, and you can't fault it for that. But Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, they are the first Pokemon games I covered in full on my site, which is hilarious, really.
Before the full coverage, I'm sure you were doing coverage here and there. You're telling me a lot about your coverage of the import and Japanese market.
Yeah, that was around when I really started to hit it big, because I had a friend in Japan who had Korokoro, and my site hit it big when we managed to get the first image of Blaziken, because back then we had no idea whether it was a legendary Pokemon or that they'd reveal a starter evolution so early, and putting that on the internet way before everything became so worldwide, that created attention, and that's what brought everything together.
Sure. Now, what were your expectations for Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, based on the fact that the games, even if you thought they were great and even if you love what they did, you probably had maybe slightly tempered expectations, I would imagine?
Yes, somewhat, because of my previous, I don't want to say hate, but my previous apathy, towards Ruby and Sapphire, it made me think, is this really going to be good? I guess it's turned out pretty well, and most of my complaints about Ruby and Sapphire are now gone.
Right, and what say you, Brian?
I was pretty excited for it. I mean, I'm always into Pokemon. I've been playing it since I was, I think, 12. So every time a new Pokemon game comes, I'm gonna play it, no matter what. So, yeah, I didn't have high expectations. I expected, a standard remake, what turned out to be, but I had a fun time with it.
Sure. It's very weird looking at these games now that they've come out. Because it almost seems like the fan reaction is toned down, but almost as split as it was when the original Ruby and Sapphire came out. Because when you talk to people about this game, either they're over the moon about it, or they do not like it that much at all. Most of which is the same complaints they had about Ruby and Sapphire. But then there's other stuff people are completely split on. Like, some people really don't like the Latias and Latios you get in the game. Some people really hate the soundtrack, which I think is kind of crazy. Some people dislike all the additions, but some people completely love them. And it was just kind of amazing that even though they've improved so much, it's still getting treated the same way the original Ruby and Sapphire was. And I actually, before we move on, I was interested in what your opinion, not your opinion, but what you've noticed about the fan community and their reaction to this.
Well, you can't please everyone. That's essentially what I've seen. I mean, a lot of people had a fair bit of lofty expectations. They're expecting so much to be added in from other things, like from Emerald. They wanted everything from Emerald to also be in it, and that was never really going to be on the cards. And so people got disappointed at that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the reaction I see is just overwhelmingly positive. But maybe because I try not to look for negatives so much anymore.
That's true. That has been one of the things I've noticed about you on Twitter, is that you're either saying something extremely positive about Pokemon or Nintendo, or you're disagreeing with someone saying something negative about Nintendo or Pokemon.
Well, I just try not to be negative. There's too much negativity on Twitter and the internet as it is.
You're right. You're just tipping the scales a little bit.
Just a tad.
All right. Did the game deliver on your expectations on, I guess you kind of answered that because you said that the game's turned out pretty well, which is a little better than you were saying about Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah, it definitely delivered. The inclusion of the Delta episode's brilliant. I mean, that just brought in the, like, schoolyard myths of the Oxys and going into space and just thought that just happens. And I wish they hadn't have revealed that existed beforehand, because can you imagine the meltdowns on the internet when it first came out that you could go into space and fight the Oxys?
And, like, holy shit, that episode. Like, just not even just the episode itself, because it was, like, a great two-hour, almost, like, movie addition to the original story. But that one moment, and spoiler alert, skip ahead about 60 seconds if you don't want to hear this, that moment when you get on Rayquaza in a spacesuit, and a rock opera starts playing, and then you fly into space, and then you fly through the meteor, and then out of the meteor comes this tiny triangle where this weird, like, synth starts playing, and these tentacles come out, and then it turns into this Deoxys who flies at the screen. It's one of the coolest moments that I've ever seen in the Pokemon game.
Yeah, I had chills.
That was so cool. It reminded me of, like, an 80s action movie, like, with the music and, like, Rayquaza going through the asteroid. It was, like, pretty... I liked it a lot.
Yeah. It's probably some of the most creative music the Pokemon series has had in some time, because none of those songs sounded like Pokemon songs that were playing. Well, except the Deoxys theme, but like that rock opera, it sounded almost as out of place as those lyric based songs did in Black 2 and White 2, which I actually like. I like that it sounded like something completely different. But moving on, we should talk about how faithful these are to the originals. And I wanted to start with the presentation, because the soundtrack and the visuals, I thought, were pretty faithful to the originals, and surprisingly faithful. Specifically the visuals, which use a very similar color palette to the original game. And I don't know if you noticed this, Serebii.
I did. It's very faithful. It looks like they just made the original game 3D, and that's essentially what you'd expect from a remake. But with other developers, they'd like completely overhaul everything, but here they're trying to keep the exact same feeling and the exact same aesthetic, just making it 3D and making it vibrant, which is more vibrant than X and Y, because X and Y had a bit of a diluted color palette.
Mm-hmm. And which is probably one of the... I mean, it was especially an issue when combined with the technical issues that game had. Which it ended up dampening the experience just a little bit. But this game, it runs a little better, and it has, I think, superior visuals and, I would argue, a superior soundtrack, partially because of how faithful it is to Ruby and Sapphire. But talking about the game is played extremely straight, and surprisingly straight, even more straight than I would argue Heart Gold and Soul Silver was. I mean, you got Mauville, which changed, and I do not like that Mauville that much. You got the Latias and Latios that the game just straight up hands to you 5 badges in. But outside of that, I thought, and Brian, tell me if you agree, that the game in like the first 6 or 7 badges is almost an entirely straight remake. There's very little new that wasn't just gameplay enhancements through X and Y.
Aside from Mauville, I think it was like pretty faithful to the original game.
Yeah, it's you still got the rich boy who's right before Petalburg Woods. You still got the wild Pokemon who are in their exact same places, and I like that. It got a tiny bit boring when they were doing a lot of that so long in a row, but I don't know. What do you think, Joe?
It did definitely stay faithful, and they also improved on it. Like, the different gym leaders and all that, even though they have the same Pokemon, they have slightly different levels and they have different moves because there's about 300 more moves since Ruby and Sapphire. And so they implement that, and there's also the times when you'd have to backtrack. They just had May or Wally just say, I'm going there, do you want to come with me?
Yeah.
Job done.
Yeah, it just seemed like they tried to take out some of the obtuse stuff. Like, I'm very happy that they left in the Reggie stuff and even added in a new obtuse quest in the Regigigas.
That was the most obtuse thing I've ever tried to work out. I couldn't believe it. I refused to believe it. I did multiple tests to check it. It was just insane.
And many of the people listening to this only discovered the solution of that quest because of your website. Including me, by the way.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to find all the legendaries.
Yeah.
Because of that, the Mirage spot is complicated. I think you need to have different kind of Pokemon in your party to go travel with Latios.
It's Latios, Omega Ruby, Latios, Alpha Sapphire. I'm glad they kept that little obtuse stuff in, but it seemed like they cleaned up some of the other stuff. Like, getting Rayquaza is way more straightforward than it used to be. I'm pretty sure his catch rate was boosted significantly in the event, because every time I fought him, and I think I fought him like 3 times, I caught him on the first or second Ultra Ball. Which is the way I think the game did that intentionally, because you kind of have to have Rayquaza. But they also took out that entire bike puzzle, and they replaced it with walking and exposition, which was kind of interesting. So it seemed like it tried to find a balance between making everything easier to get to and keeping the game's personality intact, or at least they did their best. Now let's move on to the new stuff, the bulk of the interesting part of this episode. We already talked about Delta episode, it was absolutely fantastic. Mauville, what were you going to say?
I like how they changed Mauville. They made it so it tries to more fully implement the 3D nature, and it actually feels like a city rather than two houses, a bike shop, and a game corner.
Mm-hmm. I think my problem with it is that, like, Mauville, in the original games, its purpose was to almost act as this very simple central hub to the rest of Hoenn, or at least that's the way I saw it. And I kind of liked that Mauville was just something you could go into, go out, and then that was it. In the new Mauville, everything's kind of spread over the place. There's 3 floors, but the top 2 floors are kind of weird. And then there's a bunch of stuff that's in X and Y that they had to fit somewhere, so they fit it in here. And it was just, I don't know, it didn't really touch me that much. I kind of would have preferred if they put that maybe in Dewford, or if they did that kind of thing for Dewford. I mean, you couldn't do this exact shopping mall thing, but it seemed like Dewford was the town that probably could have used an upgrade the most, because that, in my opinion, that was the most boring town in the original game.
Well, I kind of like what they've done with Dewford, because I don't know if you followed what happened, what was discovered recently.
Well, how recently?
A couple of days ago.
Tell me.
Well, there's in the bottom rightmost house, there's a small image on the back wall, and someone on Game FAQs discovered that it was one of my images, and that made me so happy.
Did you think it was a tribute, or do you think they just pulled no kami wii?
I doubt it was a tribute. I just think they had a placeholder image and they just didn't replace it.
Right. That's cool. I'm actually going to look at that as soon as we finish this up. So, it's Dewford. I guess they got something better than revamping Dewford, and they got a Serbi image in there. But let's talk about the 2 biggest features. Sneak, which was kind of like a boosted version of that rustling grass that was in Gen 5. Except now it's not necessarily rare Pokemon as much as it is rare moves and rare abilities. Right? And that seemed like a very cool feature to introduce right away. I'm glad that they introduced that right away, and they kind of had to because it was rustling grass, but I'm glad it wasn't some key item device that you would have activated at the 4th gym. it was probably one of the things that kept the game from feeling completely stale early on.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I like how it's both a combination of the shaking grass, which you said, as well as the poker radar from Generation 4. It just feels like they took these concepts, brought them together in a way which is addictive. It is so addictive. Everyone wants to just get their search level as high as possible, try to get the best moves, the best potential, the best shinies. And everyone keeps saying, oh, I don't want to leave the area until I fill up the area now. Well, Dex nav, sorry.
Yeah.
Because it's got everything on the bottom screen. It's like, oh, I don't want to leave it incomplete. Let's just stay here for an hour, find everything, then move on.
So actually, I probably should have educated myself and figured this out sooner, but is the shiny rate manipulated at all by this new mechanic?
I would not entirely sure yet, but the results which are on the internet, they kind of imply yes, but I don't want to say for sure just yet.
Okay, so that's something we're working towards. Okie dokie. And then the sore mechanic, which is the biggest thing in the game, in which you use a Latios that looks like a commercial airplane to fly through the sky and go to smaller locations that can either spawn legendary Pokemon, or there are these resetting locations that have various wild Pokemon that aren't from the Hoenn region. And this is probably one of my favorite features in the game. Not just because it allows you to find new locations on a daily basis, and it allows you to get all these legendary Pokemon without having to transfer them over, but because it felt like this was the first time where using Fly actually felt like using Fly. Where when you go into the sky, you can fly wherever you want and you have total freedom. And this is especially the case when the game now lets you land on routes, and the game now lets you land on smaller locations that you normally would never be able to, like any of the tunnels or any of the mountains in the game. And that was great. And I almost wonder why they didn't just abandon Fly to begin with, because now I was stuck with like an HM on one of my Pokemon by the time I got sore, and it was probably one of the few things that bugged me. What was your take on this specifically, Joe?
Well, I love it, and the music at night time when you're doing it is just sublime. Just had to say that. But I just like how you got the Daily Island, and you can street pass or pass people by online and get more islands to try and get as much as possible. And having all the legends available to be like Blue Pentagon, as they call it, which allows them to be competitively used, is, well, fantastic now, because now every Pokemon can have the Blue Pentagon, except for, what, Jirachi can. Except for Mew, Manaphy, Shaymin, Arceus, Victini can now, Meloetta, and Genesect.
And Brian, I presume you are just as positive on Sora as we are?
Yes, because I love the fact that, especially after the game, you can just delete Fly and just use it for whatever you want, because I like using Fly, I guess, but I like having it deleted so I don't need to use it, especially after you go to the resort and you don't need to use Fly in the battle. I just like you don't have to use Fly or any of the other HMs anymore after.
Yeah, it's definitely.
But I never use Fly anymore. I just saw, even though it does take longer, it's just like, I don't care. It's just so awesome. I can just do it for hours.
Right, because you can just hook it up to a key item, and then it's pretty much the exact same thing as using your bicycle now, except you go in the air. It's pretty good. But let's talk about that battle resort for a second, and this one might be spoilers, but I mean, they did the same. You know what? Maybe there'll be another 2 or 3 minute skip if you haven't beaten the game. Okay, but about the Battle Resort, I wanted to ask your opinion on this specifically, Joe, because I had a real problem with the way they teased Battle Frontier with no confirmation or no real suggestion that this would be coming down the line, which basically means one of two things. The first is that this is going to be the first remakes. These are going to be the first remakes that have a third version and Delta Emerald coming out next year. Or they're saying Battle Frontier is going to be in Pokemon XZ and Pokemon YZ when those come out next year. So what was your approach to this? Did this Battle Frontier tease or did this tick you off just a tiny bit?
No, not really. I mean, would it have been nice? Yeah, but really, I just don't see it as a big thing. I mean, what I see from this is that it's more adding to the entire universe. It's referencing the fact that it hasn't happened yet. I mean, there's this talk of the multiple universes in the Delta episode.
Yes, that was brilliant because it justified, or at least gave a place in the universe for the original Ruby and Sapphire. And that was brilliant. So do you think that the Battle Frontiers are going to be in next year's Pokemon game?
Not a chance. I really doubt it. I'd be very surprised if it was. I just think it's a tease referencing the entire thing, which only the, like, fans who have been around for the last 12 years would really capitalize on and know. I mean, really, the Battle Maison being in it makes more sense because of the connectivity with X and Y. It's the same reason why Heart Gold and Soul Silver had the exact same Battle Frontier as Platinum. It's to allow for proper, full communication so that players from both can compete and team up in the multi-battle.
Yeah. That was really interesting, how they put all those references in the game. Because it feels like they referenced everything they could have referenced. Even to the point where Stevens maybe one day will step down from his place as the champion, and then Wallace is going to step up. And then they even mentioned, what's his face, Juan's his name? Juan, and they mentioned even Juan taking his place. So it sounds like they even made room for the possibility of a Delta Emerald sequel, almost, if they wanted to. Because that seems like that's the way they set this up, because that would allow Battle Frontier to come out in the future, that would allow Pokemon to make more money while doing less work, and that would allow them to fit all these changes in it. I mean, do you think there's a chance of them pulling a Delta Emerald in 2015?
It's really hard to say. I mean, people say, oh, they've done the trademark, but really the trademark for Delta Emerald is a bit different to the ones they do for games, because it doesn't have Pocket Monsters Delta Emerald as a trademark. It just has Delta Emerald, which makes me think they're just covering their bases again, which they've done lots of times, like with Pokemon Crimson, Pokemon Topaz, Amethyst, White Gold, Grey.
Yeah. So when did this trademark come out specifically, the Emerald?
It came, I think it was in May. Because it was soon after Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire were revealed, and everyone was saying, oh, I'm not going to buy it now, there's clearly going to be a Delta Emerald. It's like, no, sure, that's not what's going to happen.
Alright, and then before we wind it down, I wanted to talk about the Mega Evolutions just a little bit. I have very good things and slightly bad things to say about the Mega Evolutions in this game. Mega Salamence looks ridiculous, first off. he's wearing a parachute, and he's a frisbee. And then just Mega Rayquaza, it's kind of crazy that he was so strong that they literally had to make a new competitive tier just for Rayquaza. Which is just amazing. Like, how did they know that they were creating the strongest Pokemon ever when they made him?
I'd imagine so. I mean, contrary to what a lot of people think, Game Freak do really pay close attention to getting the balance right. And the thing with Rayquaza is that it's a Pokemon which isn't usually allowed in, like, competitive battles. It's not allowed in rating battle in the battle spot. It's not allowed in the Battle Maison. It's not allowed in, well, assuming it's National Pokedex, it won't likely be allowed in VGC next year. So really, basically what they did was just, you know what, in the lore this is the most powerful Pokemon, which isn't man-made. So have at it.
Right.
Go for it.
Sure. And then I kind of don't know if I was how okay I was with, like, Beedrill and Pidgeot getting Mega Evolutions, but Slaking and, or Slaking and Flygon just getting completely untouched. It's one of the most obvious ones, but I don't know. Zerbi, you can be way more balanced about this than I could. It's...
Really, people on Twitter and the internet would say I'm anything but unbiased, but...
Well, I mean, you can be nicer. You can, then, Misa, you know what? What the heck is there, why is there not a Slay King that doesn't know Truant anymore? Like, that's the most obvious thing you could do with any Mega Evolution out of anything in the Hoenn region.
Well, really, Slay King's base stat total is, at the moment, is 670. So if it's to get a Mega Evolution, it'd be boosted up to 100, and that'd be at the same level as Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre. It would essentially be a massive legend, for lack of a better term. It would be a badass. It'd be almost Mega Rayquaza or Mega Mewtwo powerful. That's how bad it would be. Well, I say bad. That'd be how powerful it would be. So I really... don't see that one getting a Mega Evolution anytime soon. I mean, not every Pokemon needs a Mega Evolution. I mean, a lot of them do. Like Beedrill does. Did. Mega Beedrill, sorry, but I love it. And I've been testing it on a competitive team and it works. I mean, it dies if it gets tapped, but it works.
I need to test Pidgeot. Because I just like the idea of the first generation getting all these new Mega Evolutions. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, and then Mega Pidgeot actually looks like an evolution of Pidgeot, which I kind of liked. If there was, like, a fourth stage for Pidgeot, it would have been Mega Pidgeot, which was cool. So you really think that, let's say, for slacking, let's say they took Truant away, and they just gave it, like, Vigoroth's ability, and they didn't even do anything else to it. You think it would be an Uber?
Well, I don't really like to use tears, but... I'd say it'd be classed as one because it's got powerful attack. It's fast, surprisingly. It can do a lot of damage if necessary.
Sure. Okie dokie. Now winding this down, I want to know, as someone who has been so positive about the game, what is your least favorite thing about Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, Joe?
Okay, well, there is one disappointment which I've had. You know how when you're soaring in the sky, it's like the perfect opportunity for sky battles, but that didn't happen. Instead, you've just got your Sceptile just standing on nothing.
That's some Pokemon Stadium shit.
And conversely, what I was hoping for is like an underwater battle style thing for when you're using dive. Now instead I've got like my Charizard underwater, as if that's a good idea.
So,
I would have really liked for them to like beef up the sky battles for it, for soaring, but I guess I can understand why they might not, because you might not have a compatible Pokemon on your team, because you don't need to have Latios or Latias in your squad when you call it to soar. But for going underwater, you're guaranteed to have a Pokemon which knows dive, which would be perfect for underwater battles, and that would have brought a really interesting dynamic, because most of those Pokemon would be water type, so the battles would be interesting, and then I would have liked sky battles and underwater battles, if they had ever existed, to be an option online. Same with inverse battles, because I love inverse battles, they change everything, and they're just pretty cool.
So then let me ask, what's your favorite thing in the game?
Oh, loaded question. I don't want to say all of it, because that'd sound like a fanboy.
Right. You, a Pokemon fanboy!
I know, shocking! I'd have to say, I like the Delta episode, I like how they beef up the story, because they've really been going at the story since Black and White. They've been pushing it as a major part, when beforehand it was just, yeah, this stuff's happening, yeah, go get the badges and just defeat the bad guys, yeah, that's the story. But now, it's fully loaded, it's got characterization for all the characters, like Maxie and Archie now, they're like more than just big bad boss people. You can see their motivations, you can see their regrets. And same with, like, Lissandra in X and Y, and Cyrus in Diamond and Pearl had that as well. That was, like, the building blocks up to N and Getsis in Black and White. So, and I guess the Mega Evolutions as well, because they change everything competitively. I've been testing out loads of them, and I've got so many crazy strategies I intend to test out.
Okay. And I guess I should ask you now, since you're into the competitive scene, are there ever times when you go head-to-head with other Pokemon website owners like Maryland or the Bulbapedia guy?
I've never battled them, no.
I don't know. It seems like that would be like a cool crossover.
Anything can happen one day, I guess, but...
Okay. So, Brian, I'm going to ask the exact same thing of you. What is your least favorite and most favorite thing in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire?
My least favorite is probably that they stuck too close to the original. I wish that they would have varied it a bit more, because as I went along the game, I kept feeling like, okay, yeah, I know where to go. But I wish they just changed it up a little bit, at least. I mean, when I got to Marvel, I was kind of shocked, because it's like, I didn't see this in the last games, but I just wish that it was a little bit different here and there, and not so much of the same.
Yeah, and I think the problem isn't that there's, like, not enough in general, it's the fact that all of it was backloaded. It's the first half of the game really could have used something around the Slateport do for, like, that area, just something a little bit bigger to shake it up. Maybe another story event to, like, lead up to the when the story ramps up. Like, maybe they could have pulled a Black and White and made the story, like, generally dripped throughout the game instead of just throwing it all at you after the sixth badge.
My favorite part would probably be... the Delta episode. I really like that a lot. It's something new. Something different that we haven't seen in another Pokemon series. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. I will agree with you on the Delta episode. That is definitely, like, without a doubt, the coolest thing that's in the game. It's even though I knew it was there, I was still super impressed by the time it came out, because the story did a lot more than I expected it to, and they got a lot more creative with it than I expected it to. Like I said, it's basically like one of those anime movies a series would have, where it has a super dense story in like an hour and a half or 2 hours, and that's not technically originally connected to the main plot, but still has big consequences. I really love that. That's my favorite thing. My least favorite thing is probably the game's difficulty. And I will attribute this to a couple of things. The first is that I really dislike the fact that the game gives you a legendary Pokemon 5 badges in without earning it at all. And I dislike more that it takes away the Latios hunt, which was one of my favorite things in the original game. And I think one of the most important post-game events in the original game. The other... what were you going to say?
That is an interesting thing, because when you think about it, they haven't had roaming Pokemon since Raikou and Entei in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. There were none in Black and White. There were none in Black 2 and White 2.
That's, Black and White, they had Tornadus, didn't they?
Oh, of course they did. Oh, wow, the brain fart.
Cerebi.
But yeah, but since then, there haven't been any. Black 2 and White 2 didn't have any, unless my brain's suddenly gone wonka again.
Even X and Y, they had the...
Those weren't technically roaming Pokemon, because you weren't battling them when you encountered them.
That's true.
You ended up having to encounter them in the Sea Spirits Den.
That's actually correct. You got me there. But it is interesting, because they haven't had those in a while. But do you think that's intentional? Do you think they're intentionally taking that away?
I think they are. Because, it's really hard to, track down, and I can imagine they may have thought that it's pretty hard for the kids to do.
Right.
Because there were always complaints, oh, I can't find Varoma, which makes sense. Because it's gone.
Right.
It's there, it's gone, you knocked it out, oh dear, it's gone.
Yep. And then, just continuing my difficulty thing, I'm really not fond of the EXP share. And in fact, I want to hear your perspective on this too, Joe, because I make a case for EXP share being not that great, and no one will ever, ever, ever back me on it. Because the same argument I hear is that if you don't like how easy EXP share makes the game, why don't you turn it off? I've always thought that kind of kills the immersion. Just, like, knowing that you have this easy mode in your backpack that you could turn on at any time to make the game twice as easy kind of takes away a little bit of the feeling of the journey, even if you're, even if it's still just a Pokemon game. So that's one thing I dislike about it. And it's just, I kind of wish there was just a hard mode in this game, because even when you take those two things away, the game is just a little bit too easy. And I kind of wish there was, like, a hard mode and the easy mode, which is the one we got. Like, hard mode would boost the levels a few. It would find a way to make Latios a roaming legendary after the fifth badge. And then it would make the Rayquaza bike puzzle come back. And it would do all these things that I kind of wish were in the game. But it's... I don't know, how did you feel about the difficulty? Does the EXP share bother you at all? All that stuff?
I actually like the EXP share, not for the reason of, oh, it makes the game easy, but because of what it does for competitive players, because it allows you to EV train your Pokemon quickly, especially with hordes, and there's hordes which are 100% for each stat now. So, like, go to Route 111 Desert, and you've got a Sandshrew horde, so that's guaranteed defense, and it's just nothing but Sandshrew. What you can do there is just lead with a Lapras, use Surf, and have an EXP share on, and your Pokemon will get all the effort values which are necessary. I mean, that makes it really useful. But I can see how for some it can be seen as it makes it easy, and you can turn it off. But yeah, it does break the immersion. But really, for so many games, if something's too hard, you can change the difficulty. You can turn it to easy. And it's just it's just pretty much the same as that. And it does stop you from, like, having, say... Well, when I first played Pokemon Red, I played through with just my Charmander, and it became a level, like, 80 Charizards at the Pokemon League, and everything else was, like, level 20. Because I was a kid, I was useless back then. And that caused issues down the line. And so I can imagine the concept of the EXP share being always on and sharing across everyone as a key item rather than as a hold item that it used to be. I can see that was trying to counter that and make it easier, because as Junichi Masuda has said in interviews, that there were issues with making things too complicated for the kids, and so this helps make it easier if you do so wish. You can turn it off. It may break the immersion, but it's good to have the option there for people who need it or who want it.
Right, it's just like... I guess I might hold Pokemon to a higher standard than other games, as I think those games deserve, but I'm envious of the fact that you can love a series so much that you don't end up holding it to such impossibly high standards when a new game comes out, and then end up spiting it a little bit when the game does come out and doesn't meet every expectation. That is a virtue very few people have.
Well, you're talking to someone who enjoyed Pokemon Channel, so...
Okay. And then, you know what? Just to close this out, Serebii, offer your final thoughts on this game. Please.
Oh, okay. They're good games, good remakes. They're going to be used as standard for competitive, so if you're a competitive player, you're going to need it. They're good fun, decent story, not as much post-game as you'd like, but decent amount, and just generally help build the lore of the whole Pokemon series. I mean, there's one thing which a few people have noticed. I didn't notice it until I was pointed out. But in Zootopolis City, you know, by the Cave of Origin, there's that tree. And in the Delta episode, when you go there, you see Wallace saying, oh, so the tree was donated by the tall guy from the Kalos region. So the tree was donated by AZ. But what many people don't notice is right by the tree, in like a tiny corner, just a few pixels in size, you can see the flower from AZ's Floette. And it's just such nice touches, because before, like with the original Ruby and Sapphire, everything felt disconnected from the previous games. You had like the passing mention of Johto being where the protagonist is from. But now we've got regions, we've got references to Kalos, to Sinnoh, to Unova, to everywhere. It helps build the entire Pokemon universe and helps show it as one interconnected entity, rather than just, this is a region you're playing in, this is another region you're playing in. And I really like that. I enjoy interconnectivity in such a manner.
And that's a good point, because it almost feels like the reason why they designed these games, in addition to just this is the right time for these games and this is the way Nintendo likes to make their money, I think the main reason why these games work right now is that it kind of fits Ruby and Sapphire into the modern Pokemon context. And Ruby and Sapphire, in a lot of ways, were the last, like, Pokemon relics. The ones that, like, were kind of made before things started moving forward. And maybe you could make that argument for, Fire Red and Leaf Green, but it's the way I look at it as these were, like, the last weird Pokemon games where, like, there would be just stuff missing, and there would be just, like, in the game would be, like, sloppily made but have a lot of heart. These were the last games that were made before they cleaned everything up and they made everything, like, a lot neater and cleaner. Because, and I also think these were the last games, either these or Fire Red and Leaf Green, were the last games that Tajiri had extreme influence on. And correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure these might have been the last ones.
I can't remember. I mean, back then I wasn't paying that much attention to the involvement of who produced, who directed. But you might be right.
I'm going to Wikipedia sure. While you're talking, and I will tell you that production history. Ruby and Sapphire, he was the game designer for Gold and Silver. He went to executive director for Ruby and Sapphire, executive director for Fire Red and Leaf Green, and then he moved to executive producer for the rest of the games. Okay. So it sounded like these were the last ones that he had significant involvement on, and that makes sense, because now Ruby and Sapphire feel like they belong to the rest of the modern greater Pokemon universe. So that's what I like. Brian, what are your final thoughts on these games?
Overall, I enjoyed it. I didn't have any major problems with it. But, you know, Ruby and Sapphire is, like, maybe at the bottom of my list. Even though I said praises about it earlier, it's probably, like, I wouldn't say my least favorite, but, like, if I had to make a list, it would probably be, like, towards the bottom, like, right under Black and White. But overall, you know, I don't have any problems with it. I like the games, and now I guess since everybody got their Horn remake, I'm looking forward to the discussion about Sinnoh. So I'm looking forward to the Sinnoh remakes, because those are my favorite. That's my favorite region, so I guess we can start on that bandwagon.
Now that's interesting, because I think I hear even less people call Sinnoh their favorite than Ruby and Sapphire. That's great. That's actually fantastic. That'll be interesting when those remakes come out, because I can't imagine right now me being ready for remakes of the DS Pokemon games. But I guess, yeah, that's what I was saying 5 years ago about these games, though.
You know, that also has the best soundtrack. I like the Sinnoh soundtrack the most out of all of them.
That's
thinking out loud.
That's very interesting. I would actually, you know what, I can't blame you, because Trumpets in Ruby and Sapphire is actually, that's my favorite soundtrack too. The Maxie and Archie theme is probably one of my favorite themes in the entire Pokemon series, and I think they did the new version in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, extreme justice. Like, it still has that fucking booming sound to it, which I really love. Okie dokie, that'll do it. Sarah B., I would like to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to record this with us. So I will ask the question everyone's been wondering. Where can we find you?
Oh, well, on SarahB.net. You can find me on Twitter, @JoeMerrick. Just find me on the forums, SarahB.net. Email me at SarahB.net. It's just, that's where you can find me.
And we should add his Twitter, specifically spelled @JoeMerrick. But you also have the official Twitter, SarahBNet, @SarahBNet. That's SereBiiNet. Thanks to everyone at home for listening. Thanks to Brian for joining me as well, of course, and he can be found on Twitter @BR26. And of course, I can be found @CWellAFIA. That'll be all, folks. Bye-bye.
Alright, and that will do it for episode 159 of Connectivity. As always, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes if you haven't done that yet. It really helps us out. And follow all of us on Twitter. Go to nintendoworldreport.com, look for the Twitter sidebar on the right-hand side of the page, and find all of our handles there. We'll see you next week.